You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight is part three and final of this horrifying park ranger story about these cursed lands in this forest. Let me tell you, it's going out with the bang. Stay tuned. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. We had just seen Bud Bacon's child taken away by a monster who looked as if he had been stitched together by Dr. Frankenstein himself. I know the kid's name, Smitty. I had seen him around town many times, but never spoken with him. He was autistic, only talked rarely, and always had a thousand-yard stare. I knew from Bud Bacon taking him to the park ranger station that Smitty had a lot of weird obsessions about food. He would only eat food or drink drinks that were white or clear, so he ate a lot of rice, pasta, milk, and other staples, and drank a lot of water. Any food or drink that had any color other than white or transparency to it disgusted him to no end. If someone tried to give him some, he would close his mouth, turn his head away, and refuse to speak to that person for the rest of the day. "So," Wiki said from my left, "are we just going to run into the woods and shoot anything that moves?" "I really don't have any better ideas," I admitted. "Maybe that two-headed bear will come back and save us. I wish I could have talked to him more. He seems to be the only one who really knows what's going on around here." "I really wouldn't count on him bailing us out," Wiki said. "He must be getting sick of us." I only grudged. "Well, as you know, my goal is to live forever," I said sarcastically. "So far, so good. If I've made it this far, why not just keep going? Everything always seems to work out in the end." Wiki pulled a joint out of his pocket, lighting it and taking a deep hit. The sun was rapidly setting, the forest gaining an eerie, shadowy look that made it hard to see very far down the trail. "And by the way," I continued, "the bear is not a he, it's a they, and their names are Grolf and Rolf. They told me." Then, a horrendous smell started to waft over to us. It wasn't the smell of all the dank weed Wiki was smoking either. This smell was so strong that it immediately overpowered the smell of the cannabis. And to my terror, it was a smell I recognized. It was the smell of the creatures with the long arms and pale white flesh who had attacked us earlier. "Wiki?" I began to say, but he threw the half-smoked joint casually into the bush and just nodded. "Yeah, I know, bud," he said calmly, his eyes red and slightly squinting as he looked around, a big shit-eating grin on his face. Looking at him, you would think that we were at an amusement park rather than a cursed forest. "They're definitely back, and we're being watched." But nothing came out of the brush at us. I could smell the monstrosities, but it appeared the mark from the two-headed bear really worked. I was passing through without being attacked by the monsters of the forest. I had a feeling the bear's mark wouldn't work on everything, though. As we hiked further ahead into the dark, turning on our flashlights, the smell faded further and further behind us. We heard twigs snapping and bushes being pushed aside in the twilight darkness all around us, but we continued on unmolested. The few shots of alcohol I had taken before leaving to calm my nerves had totally worn off, and I felt a rising sense of anxiety building up inside my chest. As we neared the site at the end of the trail where I had been told there was a sacrifice altar, a new smell began to arise. It was the odor of burning plastic, a monstrous conglomeration of many bodies stepping out from behind an ancient oak tree to my right, blocking the path. I raised my pistol, a model called the Judge that fired shotgun shells. "Grolf and Rolf gave me the mark. I demand passage," I yelled, pointing the pistol at its face, where a monstrous single eye flicked back and forth, looking at me, then Wiki, then back at me again. "Move aside, beast. Move aside, let us pass, or I'll kill you. I really will." I hoped I sounded a lot braver than I felt. It felt like my voice was trembling, and I could feel my heart racing. I felt the flashlight tuck under my armpit as I took a deep breath in and tried to steady the gun and calm my nerves.
"Fool," the monster cried in front of me. "I am not bound by the laws of this forest. I was created from the corpses and the secret location. The mark of the protector bear has no effect on me. I will give you two standing here one last chance. Turn around, never come back here, and I will let you live. For I am Raka, the strong and unkillable, but the forgiving for those who repent," the monster said, blowing fetid air in our direction out of his reeked mouth as he yelled. The trees shook around us, and I heard birds and bats fleeing in droves as leaves fell from the tallest branches, showering the forest.
"Okay, listen up here, Raka," Wiki said, stepping in front of me. "No one tells us where we can go and what we can do. And there's a kid back there we're supposed to bring back. If you're so strong, why do you take mere children?"
Raka laughed a deep, gurgling sound that reminded me of slug slime and moldy, rotty leaves on the bottom of a lake. It sounded wet, sickly, phlegmy, and overall, just disturbing. I heard movement behind Raka, and men and women in black robes started to step out, forming a semicircle. Both Wiki and I had our guns pointed at the new arrivals, yet they seemed totally unafraid.
"Hail Raka the Great, the Strong, the Unkillable,"
said a tall blonde woman in the front. The rest of them shouted in unison,
"Hail!"
"Hey, you guys stole that from the Nazis. Pretty lame losers," Wiki said, laughing.
"Actually, I think the Nazis stole it from the ancient Romans," I said. "You know, the whole Hail Caesar thing." Wiki gave me a sour sideways look, frowning. The cult members and the monster in front of us totally ignored our conversation.
"The child is ours,"
Raka said, smiling a grin with far too many teeth, many of them appearing rotted and blackened, but still sharp and extremely long.
"I am done being patient. If you take one step forward, I will kill you both."
I took one step forward. Raka's single eye widened in surprise as I raised the gun and began shooting at the cult members behind him. I knew from previous experiences that shooting Raka did no good, but that was a problem I'd have to deal with later, probably in about 30 seconds. Wiki followed my lead, firing his .22 at the center mass and heads of the cult members. Within seconds, all of them were on the ground, dying or dead, blood soaking into the dried leaves of the forest floor. With a roar, Raka began to rush forward towards us, and then everything happened very fast.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
From my right, a loud rustling started, and out popped the two-headed bear, Grolf and Rolf. He sprinted out on all fours from a cluster of bushes nearby, slamming into Raka with amazing speed and sending him flying 20 feet off the trail and directly into the trunk of a huge evergreen tree. The branch went through the heart of Raka, and though the maggots swarmed and tried to re-knit his flesh, he was caught. His feet moved with futility, not even touching the ground since he was suspended about 5 feet off the ground with the impaling branch keeping him stuck. He roared and screamed, but made no progress.
"Now go!"
Grolf said in my mind, his psychic voice echoing with a loud, clinging feeling throughout my entire consciousness. I winced at the power of this inner voice.
"The boy has little time left. The altar is just ahead. You are our only hope."
"Well, that's not good," I muttered to myself. If I was the only hope for saving this forest, maybe this entire town, then they were really in a much crappier position than I imagined. Wiki and I ran forward, reloading our guns as we went. A few hundred feet ahead, I saw the flickering glow of the bonfire. A round stone table about 20 feet across sat next to it, a thin, shirtless boy tied and gagged on the top of it. Around him, cult members in black robes chanted, standing in a circle, every eye on the imprisoned boy. Once we were within range, Wiki and I began firing, my judge pistol blowing holes the size of grapefruits into the chests of many of the cult members. Wiki was also a great shot, and his .22 put tiny bullet holes into the skulls of those nearest the boy, dropping them instantly. The rest of them scattered like cockroaches. The chanting stopped immediately as they ran in all directions into the forest. We took the opportunity to reload.
"Let's get the kid and get the heck out of here,"
Wiki said, and I nodded. "The sooner I get out of here, the better," I thought to myself. Taking out a pocket knife, I quickly began to cut the binds on the boy's hands and feet, while Wiki untied the gag around his mouth. The boy had a vacant, blank look in his eyes. I wonder whether he was in shock.
"Smitty, can you hear me?"
I asked him loudly. He didn't respond, just stared through me, making no eye contact.
"Just grab the frickin' kid and let's go," Wiki said. "Those things, the ones with the long arms and the pale skin, are probably going to be back soon. You don't really know how long the protection the bear gave you lasts, do you?"
No, I said, trying to remember. I knew logically that it didn't last forever, but would it wear off so fast? I figured we would find out on our way back. Grabbing Smitty's arm, I pulled him up from the table. He didn't resist, and when I started speedwalking back towards the trail, he kept pace with me.
"Thank you,"
Smitty said to me silently. I barely heard him, but looked over at him in surprise. He glanced over at me, making eye contact for the barest fractions of a second, then returned his gaze forwards. "Hey, little man, you're welcome," I said, smiling. "We weren't going to let you die out here. Your dad is waiting for you, too." I didn't tell him his dad was probably waiting for him in the hospital, getting his head stitched up and his skull fracture checked out.
"But we are in trouble still," Smitty said, pointing to the tree where Raka had been impaled.
Looking up, I realized the branch I had seen him suspended on was now broken in half, and there was no sign of the monster except for thick black blood and thousands of squirming maggots on the fractured remainder.
"Oh, crap,"
Wiki and I both said at the same time, as a rushing shape smelling like burning plastic and rotting meat sprinted out of the woods, grabbing Wiki and disappearing into the pitch blackness. As he was grabbed, Wiki dropped his gun, yelling in surprise.
Once he realized what was happening, he started screaming at me.
Get out of here,
he said. Don't worry about me, get the kid to safety. I tried running after him, but Raka was far too fast. After a minute, I turned around and went back to the trail, where I saw Smitty patiently waiting.
Shoot, I screamed. We have to get him back.
Don't worry, Smitty said, his face a blank expression. I can track them. I could track all of them. I see it like points on a map in my... He stopped walking, pointing to his forehead. I was panting, doubling over from sprinting.
But we need help, and there's too many of them, and the mark is wearing off. I see it on you like light being washed away. Your face glows darker and darker as it fades.
This is the most I'd ever heard Smitty speak, and I was flabbergasted.
We will come back, I said, taking Smitty's hand and leading him to safety.
We found his father, who had been picked up by a random passerby as he stumbled in the road, his face a mask of blood, his wounds untreated, the brain damage and concussions making him totally unaware of where he was or what was going on by that point. I finished telling all of this to my psychiatrist the next morning. He had been prescribing me antidepressants for my crippling depression, and even though Wiki was gone for now, I still had to go to work and keep my appointments. I knew I would get Wiki back eventually. He was too tough and dumb to kill. The psychiatrist nodded at me as I spoke. Do you blame yourself for what happened to your friend, Hardwick? He asked, pushing his glasses up his nose.
No, we did what we had to do, I said, not knowing whether I was being totally truthful. Maybe I did blame myself a little bit, but I didn't want to tell this man that.
He wrote a few more notes in his notepad, then his secretary came in.
Dr. Forenzo, the pretty brunette said. He looked up. You have a call. It's an emergency.
Nodding gravely, he got up. Please excuse me, Jay. I'll be right back, he said, leaving the room and closing the door behind him. I got up after a minute, bored, wondering how long this was going to take. I looked at his notepad, laying face down on his brown leather chair, and frowned. Flipping it over, I saw he hadn't been taking notes at all. He had simply drawn a picture across the entire front of the notepad. It was a picture of me, crucified to a lamppost, my eyeballs hanging out, a pentagram carved into my chest. Underneath, in tiny, neat block letters, he had written, "Kill the traitor."
Well, I said, putting the notepad back down. That can't be good.
The FBI offered to send me help in finding Wiki. That day, I had a team of agents and dogs with me at the Ranger station. Even Sheriff Ames showed up, saying he wanted the help in any way that he could. After all, I had risked my life and I had saved the boy. But now another adventure has to begin. I just hoped that I would find Wiki in time, and that one day I would end the evil in this forest, once and for all.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.